If you live in the northwest of England, Al and I are putting on a bit of a do on the 4th of May, and our very own Paul Quigley from Manchester, he's involved, aren't you, sir?
Certainly am, Simon.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Tell us about this thing, because we're celebrating, aren't we?
We're celebrating, yes we are. The RNIB Northwest Region is celebrating with an awards ceremony a week on Saturday, on May the 4th, Saturday, May the 4th at 7 p.m. And they're celebrating the achievements of local blind and partially sighted VI people with an evening and dinner of entertainment and lots of fun music, comedy, etc. And it starts at 7 p.m, as I say, at the Lowry Hotel in Salford Quays, on the beautiful Salford Quays, just opposite from Media City, UK. So I'm here to promote the event for the RNIB with some useful information, hopefully, for people if they'd like to write this down. I've got some information, Simon.
Right, I'll tell you what, we'll get all the contact details at the end. What can we look forward to then on the actual night?
The actual event, okay, we've got a stand-up comedian called Georgie Morell. She's apparently brilliant. We've got a recording artist who's recently got a recording contract called Ella Playford. And apparently the organisers say you can go and get a taste of what she sounds like on YouTube. Ella Playford, PLAYFORD. She'll be playing live. We've also got an international DJ act, Adam Peacock and Neil Baxter, otherwise known as the Chuckle Brothers. They'll be playing. And yours truly will be providing entertainment in the foyer and probably elsewhere in the building throughout the evening, knowing me. I'll be there with my acoustic guitar singing songs of love and angst and all that sort of other good stuff that I tend to do these days. There's a lady called Alison Harmon, who's the organizer, and Adam Peacock, he's also involved in getting it all set up. I've got a phone number here. It's 01772 320 553. That's 01772 320 553. Book your tickets on that line. There is also, Simon, there is a web page, and I'll just dictate that. It is www.donate.rnib.org.uk/awards2019. If you go to that page, there's a form that can be filled in to book your tickets. And apparently they're selling like hotcakes, so get in there quick, because it's going to be a fun-packed evening. And dinner, it's a four-course dinner. It's a five-star hotel. It's a lovely evening, beautiful location, and hopefully the weather will be great too, Simon, as well as all the good music. Yep.
And what do you think, one of these events, what do you think we get out of these kind of events?
Well, I think it's all about community, and it's a sense of achievement, isn't it? We're achieving despite the adversity that people with disabilities and sentry, it's an achievement despite all of that, that we've still got a quality of life that we can aspire to and to celebrate with each other, other people's achievements who have similar predicaments to our own. I think it's wonderful, really, that we all get together and show that, you know, life isn't just about, the struggles, if you like, of, you know, the benefits claiming and all that other stuff of getting about mobility and issues. Once, you know, that aside, that there is something to celebrate. It's a celebration, Simon. It's a celebration of life, of being human, of being able to partake in music, despite the fact that we may not be able to see. We can certainly hear, we can certainly taste and touch and all that other good stuff. So I think it's great. I think it's a chance for us all to get together under the banner of RNIB. And I thank the RNIB for organising it. It's great. It's a great idea.
Now, we're going to get Paul to introduce one of his compilations to you at the end of the interview, but... Yeah. Getting back to what we're talking about here, it's funny, I think sometimes, you know, for those of you that are severely sight impaired and have perhaps been born like that, you probably think, well, what's the fuss? Because, you know, we got on with life and we do this and we do that. I think for those of us who are losing our sight later in life, sometimes it's even more of a struggle at times, because we're living with one foot in the sighted world and yet we're having to learn to adapt, to do things, not using sight as our main sense for doing things. And I think there is a difference with that as well, isn't there?
There is a huge difference. My family, RP, I know you've got the Stargardt's disease, haven't you, which is similar in the sense that it tends to degrade over time. For those who, you know, never had sight, that's a struggle in itself, in that, you know, but those of us who've had something and lost it, it is kind of like a sensory bereavement. You know, it's a bit strange, takes a lot of getting used to. And I don't know that we ever really do, you know, because we know what the visual, the joy, I suppose, of being able to, you know, have sight and be able to see other people's faces and the reactions. And then to lose that is a huge loss. You can't begin unless you've actually had it to suddenly have that disconnect from society and that disconnect from the outside world. And then all of your other faculties, like your hearing and your sense of smell, they tend, as people say, is it a cliche? No, it's not a cliche. It's true. Your other sensories do have to take over. I've noticed actually, Simon, you know, when I'm going about my business, my nose is always sniffing around for things like the cooking. You know, have I left the cooker on? So I'm always aware of, you know, the smells around me and what is that? And it's sending signals because my eyes ain't picking that information anymore. It's just not picking it up. So it's absolutely vital. And it's like the before and after. It's really strange is to be living without that sort of acuity of not being able to see. And RP is a particularly wicked hereditary genetic disease in that it creeps upon you like a shadow. You know, you don't notice it until you've just connected with a lamppost. I mean, it's as cruel and vicious as that. And then it happens again, and you know that there's no cure. Having said that, as we talked about last week, there is some hope at the light, literally light at the end of the tunnel. I was hesitate to use that really for those of us who have RP and some other stroke, and hopefully for Stargardt's and other afflictions as well. Stem cells could prove a way of actually having some light sensitivity coming back to our retinas. So there is hope around the corner. But yeah, life can be very tough. But hey, you know, we've all got our crosses to bear, and I don't want to be a martyr about this, but we life could be worse. I mean, being able to not to hear or to be able to move around, that must be pretty damn miserable for some, at times as well. So, you know, it's a glass half full society. We've got to live that way, think positive. And that's why these awards are great, because it shows that we can be, you know, play on a level playing field. And the Equalities Act 2010 has proved invaluable for getting us back on the map. And it's all good. It's all good going forwards, I think.
Yeah, and a message for those of you who have perhaps just recently been diagnosed with sight loss, you're probably still trying to digest that. And as Paul says, yeah, you know, you get used to it after a while, but when you've got a constantly deteriorating condition, you're having to adjust. I had that today, actually. I walked into the studio and producer Paulina was sitting there, and I nearly walked into it because I just didn't see her. And it surprises and shocks me, because I think, yeah, well, that wouldn't happen to me. So, you know, I'm realising there's things still that I'm starting to be able to do less using my sight. But when you come to performance, I always think that's a big thing for blind performers, because we always think of performance as a two-way street between the performer and the audience. And it still is. But usually, you know, vision is the way that you connect with an audience. You can read an audience. You can pick up on people looking distracted or whatever. Whereas without sight, you have to use other cues, don't you?
You do. I mean, obviously, you have to use the audio cue, which is the obvious one. It's really tricky because, as you say, you can't pick up any information about, you know, people are smiling or anything like that. It's all history. It's all long gone. I think you just have to just accept that if they know that the performer, that the artist has a visual impairment, that it is going to be very slightly different to if they were, you know, waving to someone who could see them and could sort of put their thumbs up back to them. I mean, those days are gone, you know what I mean? But it's just one of them, as they say, the old cliche. It's one of them. You just got to crack on with it, and hopefully the music does the talking. And as long as people ain't chucking bottles at your head, you should be all right, you know, and get off and get your fee and toddle off home with a beer, you know, sorted, you know. Nice one.
It's quite funny because I it's not funny, but I think it is for other folk. Because I've got central vision loss, I look peripherally at things.
Yeah.
And as time's going on, depending where somebody is, I'm tending to look more to the right or the left of them to actually see their face. Yeah. And the weird thing is that I'm so used to doing that, I don't realise I'm doing it. And I'll speak to one person, like even in an audience, particularly it's worse, I'll be talking to who I think I'm talking to, and somebody three along is saying, is he talking to me? Because I'm actually looking at them. And it's things that you've got to be aware of all the time. I sometimes just say to people, by the way, you'll probably notice I'm looking a bit to the side, and that this is why, just to try and put people at ease a bit, because we get used to the tricks that we use.
Absolutely. That's something I notice with mine as well, is that RP, as you know, you lose your periphery first, but when you get to a certain age, the acuity central vision goes as well. You know, I had cataract operate on one of mine, hoping that it would bring back some of the milky, you know, the way that the clouded lens tends to mess your vision up. And I thought that's all it was, but it wasn't, you know, they put a lovely new lens in my eye and still couldn't see. And it was obviously a retinal or something in the, inside the eye that was still blocking the way. And it was still, so I have to do on one of my eyes exactly the same as what you do. I have to look slightly to the left to try and pick up some information. And I think that could be quite off-putting to people who, as you say, you'll never ever look directly at them because there's nothing there to be seen as far as our, you know, optical equipment is concerned. But for them, they must think that we look very strange looking away from them and talking to somebody. Else.
Yeah. I know. I mean, because it's not a barbecue at this do, is it? It's an actual sit-down meal, isn't it, coming up?
Yes, it is.
That's
it
good
is.
Because
it is.
Barbecues are a pet fear of mine because I just there's too much stuff on the table. I don't know what I'm going for. And I actually had the embarrassing thing where I was at one and there was some lovely pakora in a lovely container. And I thought, in fact, it was the sauce. And I thought, I know where the pakora is. I've got a piece of pakora. Right, we're ready to dunk. But I hadn't realised there was still cling film over all the... and I just thought, I've blown it again. I was trying to act so cool.
that's happened. Well, I'll tell you about, I remember, I can't claim this is one of my own. It's one of my mother's that she used to use this as a pet joke about visual impairment. You know, maybe 30 years ago, she said she used to smoke back in the days when people actually used to smoke at social events. And she said she was at some event and I could relate to this in that she was having this cigarette and it was coming towards the end and it was starting to burn her fingers and she needed to stub it out somewhere. And she leaned over and stubbed it in the sugar bowl. You know what I mean? And everyone looked at her.
All righty. Well, we're going to get Paul to introduce his song for you. But first of all, just give us that phone number again for anybody that's interested.
Yep, the phone number. RNIB, and the lady's name is Alison Harman, H-A-R-M-A-N, Alison Harman. She could be contacted on 01772. And the rest of it, he says, squinting at the... 320-553. That's 01772. 320553. The website address again is donate.rnib.org.uk/awards2019. If you go to that website, you can put your place your orders, and there's stuff on there like dietary requirements and all sorts of good stuff, I think. So, And I strongly urge everyone to go down, and I'd love to meet you. I'll be there on the night playing my song. So as many of you can get down, I'll be very happy to and lovely to meet you all. Yeah.
We wish you the best of luck for the night, and whatever happens, have a lot of fun. Paul Quigley, always a pleasure. Would you introduce your song to us, please?
Yes, thank you very much, Simon. Yes, the song that Simon will be playing is a song I wrote about 5 or 6 years ago. It's called Gone But Not Forgotten, and it's about a friend of mine who lost his battle with alcoholism and a very talented musician friend of mine, and it's a bit of a lament song, really. I hope, nevertheless, that it means something to a lot. I know a lot of people that have heard it seem to enjoy it, and it can be procured also on iTunes, Spotify, and all good digital record shops if you want to get it, and it's by my band. It's actually under the name of my band Hell's Bells, H-E-L-L-S-B-E-L-L-E-S, if you want to check that out. Gone But Not Forgotten, Simon. So talk to you soon. Thank you.
My old friend, speak to me. Don't you know things must be? My old friend, don't you see that the world will makes me free, and I know, yes I know, that one thing to go we go.